98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
And away we go with the top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show. The 4 o'clock reset. Halfway home on the show, we hit the reset button, tell you what's going on. Cardinals injury report today, the first one out for their week 2 game against the Minnesota Vikings. And as is the norm, a lot of veterans' days off being handed out by Cliff Kingsbury on a Wednesday. Kelvin Beachum, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Rodney Hudson, Devon Kennard, Charles Washington all did not practice today for the Cards.
Yeah, listen, this is the new age of the NFL. Veterans' days off, you guys don't have to practice. I mean, it's all about keeping guys fresh. And I mean, you saw it with no preseason, right? Guys barely played in the preseason, and they rolled the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. How many of those guys were, three of them for sure, Green, Hopkins, and Hudson, were rest? How many of the other ones were rest? We'll see. Kyler Murray spoke to the media today about a number of things, one of them about not winning Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC.
No, I definitely feel like I did, but it is what it is. I don't really. It's all good. Go back out there next week and do it again.
Have you called up Madden about their ratings on you?
No.
Yeah, he admitted, I think I got a little robbed for Player of the Week, but, you know, whatever. What are you going to do about it?
You can harp on it. I mean, it is what it is. You'll get plenty of them in your career.
Yeah.
He'll get plenty of them.
USC coaching, long list of potential candidates that included, at least briefly, Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer, who's 0-1 as a head coach in the NFL. He got behind a podium today before behind the microphone and shot it down quick and hardcore.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it so that I can put it to bed.
No chance. I'm here committed to try to build an organization.
No chance. Now, people are using the Nick Saban when he was the coach of the Miami Dolphins as a comp, in which he said, no, I'm not taking it. And he did. But after one game being in the NFL, I think we can scratch Urban Meyer's name off the list.
Yeah, listen, I think they wanted to get out. They've got an interim coach right now in Dante Williams. He's the interim coach. And they wanted to get out front and be the first team that's, you know, big program that's looking for a guy instead of waiting until the end of the season and being mixed in with 6-7 other, you know, quality jobs that are looking for coaches.
19th ranked ASU versus 23rd ranked BYU on Saturday night, and Herm Edwards is anticipating two of his missing running backs will be back. Diamante Treanum should be back, as well as redshirt freshman running back Daniel Nagata, who should be back for that game as well.
The strength of their team is their running game. There's speed in their running game, right? That's the strength of that offense right now. They want to run the football. They've got a lot of speed. They want to try to counter what BYU does well with the speed that they have. And they do have three dynamic backs in Nagata, Treanum, and White. And when all three are healthy, they've got the ability to do a lot of damage.
Seth Beer exited last night's game for the Diamondbacks against the Dodgers. A dislocated left shoulder. They popped it back in. We'll see what his availability is for the rest of this week, the rest of the season moving forward.
Yeah, listen, the Dodgers clinched, unfortunately, against the D-backs last night. They clinched with that win. They clinched a playoff spot, and they'll go for the sweep tonight. I'm just tired of getting asses kicked by the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers have owned the Diamondbacks this year, so this is the first time they're playing them in L.A., but they dropped the first two.
Robbie Ray today, seven innings, goodness. 4 hits, 13 strikeouts, no walks. There's a lot of talk about whether Robbie Ray is going to win the Cy Young Award in the American League. In his last 19 starts, Robbie Ray is 9-3 with 160 strikeouts in 118 innings pitched. And I'm not even sure that includes what he did today. That does not include what he did today.
Just why? How? Robbie Ray was a 5-inning pitcher with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and now he's going to win the damn Cy Young Award in the American League. Like, what happened? Like, what? Why is he doing it there, but he couldn't do it here?
Yeah,
like, it's a serious question you got to ask. This organization has to look in the mirror and ask, what did we do wrong? We had him for 6 years. They got him for a year, and he's going to win the Cy Young Award. Look in the mirror and figure out what you're doing wrong, where he could leave and go win the Cy Young Award after you had him for 6 years and he was just an average pitcher.
Got an amen from the congregation on that
just
one,
why?
Friend.
Figure out why. But something's wrong.
Top story of the day today. Chandler Jones wins Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC, and of course he did. He had 5 sacks and 2 forced fumbles.
Imagine if he didn't.
Well, he was never not going to after that performance, but no, I can't imagine that. And today, we got to hear from Chandler Jones for the first time all season. He hadn't talked during training camp, and he didn't talk during leading up to the game. But he spoke today because he knew a lot of his questions were going to be about his contractual situation.
I'm just playing football, honestly. I just let my agent take care of all that, the contract situation. But it is the last year of my contract, and, you know, I just let that take care of itself.
Confirmed today he did ask for a trade this offseason.
Yeah, I did ask for a trade. I did. I'll let if Steve wants to talk about that, he can speak about it, or my agent, but that is true.
That's the situation Chandler Jones finds himself. The final year of a deal. Cardinals have options, but he spoke today for the first time about his contract and how much he's thinking about it.
Yeah, because that was his leverage. His leverage is, I want to get paid. Okay, we're not going to pay you right now. You're coming off of a season. You had 1 sack and you missed 11 games. But I want to get paid. Well, we're going to wait. Well, then trade me. I mean, that's frustration. You know, it's just frustration. Then trade me. I want to go somewhere I can get paid. And then after you settle down and everything and you realize, okay, they're not trading you, then you realize what you have to do. You got to go out there and you got to play well. Well, you know what happens? He gets 5 sacks. And now everybody's like, pay him, pay the guy. Make sure you pay the guy. So you just got to do what you got to do. You got to go out there, you got to play well. He did that.
And he was asked about that, if it's important to have a big season to earn that new deal.
I think I play best when I don't go on thinking about the deal or the contract. Is it something that, I mean, off the field that, yeah, I mean, of course. I don't know where I'm going to live next year, you know? But in the same situation, I think when the season starts, I even tell my agent, let's put all that to a side. You know, you take care of that. If you want to talk about it, you talk about it. As far as for me, I'm going to play, and I'm going to play my best football, and we'll see what happens then.
Yep, and it's advantageous for him to make sure he shows up and puts the team first.
In this situation here, I think it's advantageous for me to show up for sure. I know I wasn't at minicamp, I wasn't at OTAs, but when it comes to this season, I think doing your job is essential. Putting the team first, ignoring the noise, and like I said previously, just managing expectations.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the show, you think something gets done with Chandler Jones before this season ends.
Yes. I think they'll get something done. Look, they're not going to – it's very unlikely that the Cardinals are going to pay him for past performances, right? That's where teams get burned left and right. You pay a guy based on what do I think you're going to do at age 32, 33, 34, and you give him a 3-year deal. Like, okay, T.J. Watt just got a big deal, right? T.J. Watt, he's 26 years old.
Sure.
He's 26. He's not 31. So older players, older pass rushers never, ever, ever break the bank. They don't. Father Time catches up with everybody. Guys break down over time. So the older you get, the less chance there is that you're going to break the bank. Can he do a good deal right now and get himself $40 to $50 million in guaranteed money? Yeah, I think he can. I think if he wants more, if he's looking at a TJ Watt contract or anything like you, I really doubt that because of his age. You look at a 31-year-old guy and you compare him to a 26-year-old guy, you're not going to get what the 26-year-old guy got.
Yeah.
So I do think that a deal can be done. It's just a matter of what's a fair deal for both sides.
There's a comp out there that you mentioned of a particular player.
Cameron Jordan.
Yep.
Cameron Jordan got a 3-year extension with about $42 million in guaranteed money. Got a 3-year deal. I'm just going to look at his deal right now because I just called it. He got a 3-year deal for $52 million with 42 guaranteed. Chandler Jones wants that deal. I'll give it to him right now. I'll give you a 3-year deal with 42 guaranteed because I'm going to have to pay you 22 next year anyway.
If you tag him, yeah.
Yeah, so I might as well get 2 more years with 11 guaranteed on each of those years.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Kyler Murray. Is he going to be this year's version of Josh Allen? It's one of the many questions Pro Football Focus tried to answer, and we'll give our answer next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Josh Allen last year in leading the Buffalo Bills to the AFC Championship game threw for over 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He completed 69% of his passes.
He broke a lot of Buffalo Bills records.
And was 13-3 At least the team was 13-3.
Broke a lot of records.
Yeah, he did. He did. He was phenomenal. And dude got paid in the offseason. He was Yeah, 100% deserved every penny of it for what he's done for that team.
Yeah, you're looking
and that organization.
You know, when you think about, like, okay, when was the last time they had a good quarterback? Was it really Jim Kelly? Was Jim Kelly the last time they had a really good quarterback? I mean, so, you know, they had Drew Bledsoe for a little bit. They had Doug Flutie for a little bit. They had Tyrod Taylor. Like, you go through the Buffalo quarterbacks. Okay, yeah, Jim Kelly was great. They went to Super Bowls. They didn't win any, but they went to a bunch. Marv Levy, and those teams were fantastic. You want to pay a quarterback like that.
Oh, sure.
You want to pay somebody. Nobody wants to be looking for a quarterback every 2 to 3 years. You want to put Ben Roethlisberger in, win some Super Bowls, and have the guy there for 15 years.
Of course you do.
That's what you want.
It is absolutely the goal.
Nobody wants to be changing quarterbacks every 3 years. It's the worst thing you can do. We've been through that. Been there, done it. No, thank you.
Yeah, you shouldn't fear that. You should embrace that. Because if you're able to do that, it means you've got the right guy. It means you've found your guy. Now, there are teams that have prematurely done that, right? Prematurely given their guy the money. See the Rams with Goff. See the Eagles with Carson Wentz, right? And you've got contracts now that are...
You so desperately want to pay a guy. Yeah. Sometimes you pay a guy and you're not sure what you have.
So you want to make sure, maybe a little more sure than the Rams and the Eagles did with those two guys. But absolutely, I hope the Cardinals make Kyler Murray a $40 million quarterback. Because if they do, it means he's earned it. It means that he's shown, I am a franchise quarterback. I am the guy who will be this organization's quarterback for the next 10 years. We all should want that to happen, no matter how expensive it might be.
Yeah, we're not paying for it. What do we care?
Yeah, it's not my money.
It's Michael Bidwell's money. I don't care how he spends his money.
it's not.
Want to buy a plane, or you want to buy, you know, you want to put that money to Kyler Murray? Whatever you want to do, I don't care.
Yeah, now it's
but if you get a franchise quarterback, you don't let that guy go.
It's easier to win when you're still paying him on that rookie deal because you can afford to go out.
Teams win when they're paying a quarterback. Well,
of course they do, but it's easier. It's easier to win when you've got that guy.
Yeah, but that window's small.
Oh, I know.
You only have a small window to win with a guy because that guy's young and inexperienced.
No doubt. And the Bills did that last year, which I think they're still doing it this year with Josh Allen.
Yes.
I don't think that extension kicks
next
in
year.
Until next year. Yeah, you want to be able to take advantage of that. The reason we're having this conversation, there was on Pro Football Focus today, there was an article that kind of stood out to us, a buy and sell article. I'm gonna write a sentence, and then I'm gonna say whether I buy it or whether I'm gonna sell that sentence. All right. For example,
Amazon stock.
Kind of think of it like a stock.
Oh, okay.
It was. Kyler Murray is going to have a Josh Allen-esque breakout in year 3. Pro Football Focus. Buy or sell?
I'll buy that stock.
You're going to buy that?
I'll buy that. I'll call my broker and I'll buy that stock right now.
Do you have a broker?
I kind of do a lot of it myself.
I do.
But I do have, like, I have financial guys, but I've started to dabble in it a little bit. I don't know if I'm any good at it or not. I'm okay. I'm doing okay.
Your portfolio will tell you whether you're good at it or not.
I'm not bad. I'm not bad.
Okay.
I'm not bad.
Your portfolio will kind of tell the tale that needs to be told when it comes to that. I'm buying that too, but it's complicated because a Josh Allen-esque breakout year encompasses two things.
Totally.
Individual success for the player. Team success for the organization.
That defines the Josh Allen breakout.
In our opinion, and we're on the same page on this one, it's got to be both.
Hand in hand.
Yeah, for it to be a Josh Allen-esque breakout year.
Well, listen, I think that if he puts up big numbers and they don't win a lot of games, they'll still think you want to pay the guy, but you're not going to pay him as much. I mean, the bottom line is winning football games. That's the bottom line. So, but you got to have both. Like, okay, Jimmy Garoppolo won a lot of football games. They got a quarterback to replace him. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo wins a lot of football games. He took a team to a Super Bowl. What's his reward? They drafted Trey Lance. So it's a combination
it's
of...
True.
Yeah, you got to... Like, there's plenty of guys that put up stats, right? And then... But they don't win.
And there's plenty of guys who win, but you know you're not winning because of them, right? You're not winning football games because of Jimmy Garoppolo. He was there when the wheel went round for San Francisco.
How many times I referenced John Skelton on this show. But the difference between Skelton and Cobb was that they won when Skelton played quarterback.
Of course, yeah.
They won games.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't pretty, but they won.
No.
It was like, play Skelton. For some reason, they win when Skelton
Cobb
plays.
Cobb had better skills. Cobb had, when he was available, he had better skills. But yeah, Skelton won more games. And it goes hand in hand. So if the question is, Kyler Murray is going to have a Josh Allen-esque breakout year in year 3, buy or sell? I'll buy it.
I'll cautiously
buy it because if he has a breakout statistical season and the Cardinals go 9-8, did he really have a Josh Allen type year? He had half of a Josh Allen type year. The other half involves the domination the Bills had last year. The Bills were the talk of the NFL last year for how well they played. There are a lot of people's pick to get to the Super Bowl this year, even though the fact that they lost last week to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It goes hand in hand. You got to have both. Got to have both.
No, I agree. But I think it's very possible that that's going to happen. And that Tennessee win, that did a lot to make people believe that that could happen.
All right, a few other ones here because there were some really good ones in here. Jameis Winston will lead the Saints to more passing success than Drew Brees did in 2020 by herself.
Drew Brees couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards, and Jameis Winston can throw it 90. I think there's a better chance, but he's also probably, you know, he's turnover prone, so he's probably going to throw a lot of picks again.
So is that a buy or a sell?
I'll buy it. Okay. I'll buy Winston, yeah.
I'm going to sell on that one. You and I both agree on this one from, I know this from earlier. Time to panic in Green Bay. Buy or sell?
No, I'm not buying that.
Sell.
Not buying Green. Green Bay will be fine.
They'll be fine. R-E-L-A-X. Jalen Hurts is the long-term solution for Philadelphia. Buy or sell?
Sell. I'm not buying that yet. Maybe at some point, but not right now.
I'm selling that.
Me too.
I'm very much selling that. Pittsburgh Steelers are legit contenders. Buy or sell?
I'll buy.
You're buying? I'm sell, but I'm not a firm sell on that one. The Steelers are one of those teams that they're usually pretty good, right? And they go into Buffalo and they win in week one, and it looked just very familiar. Oh, the Steelers are good again this year. So I didn't think that much of them to start the season. They're kind of like, they really impressed me with that win. And a couple more like that, and it'll probably be too late for me to buy that stock, but I'll buy it.
You'll just buy it at a different price.
I'll get it at a, you're getting it at a much better price than I am, but that's because you're the supreme broker, and you know I'm not.
I wouldn't go that far.
Trevor Lawrence is going to struggle in year one,
yes.
Buy or sell?
Yeah, I'll buy that. Of course he is.
Mac Jones, the favorite for NFL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I'll buy that too. I'm probably not going to spend a lot on that stock, but I'll buy that. I mean, he's in a good situation with a good coach and a good organization, and that goes a long way towards helping a guy have success.
My lean is to sell on that one, but I need to think about all the wide receivers that got drafted. You know, I think about all those guys who can put up numbers, and I just wonder if Mac Jones. He's a rookie quarterback, and man, sometimes rookie year, it's a struggle for those guys. Or a running back or a wide receiver just go out there and
just put up numbers.
Just put up numbers, and you're going to win it, you know?
How about Rondale Moore? I mean, could he be in the conversation?
Should Rondale Moore be the favorite for NFL Rookie of the Year? Buy or sell, Gambo?
No, I'm not gonna buy that.
Hold in this scenario?
Yeah, it's
man,
a hold.
It's so early to make these.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Rookie of the year. I was one game in, man.
Yeah,
I need
the Kyler Murray, Josh Allen thing. It's early. It's early to have that conversation because I look at the Cardinals. I'm supposed to decide after week one whether they're going to be a 13-4 football team. I don't know if I can make that determination after one week.
What are you getting paid for then? What are we paying you for here? People want a determination of whether you think this team's going to win 12 games right now.
They're not going to get one. I'm not giving them one.
Sheesh.
You give me a determination. You're the one with a portfolio. You're the one who dabbles. You tell me. They gonna win 13 games this year, or is it too early to tell, Gambo?
Cryptocurrency advice? What do you want here?
No, I don't. I want you to acknowledge that it's too early to know whether the Cardinals are gonna be that good or not. When we come back, which players on the Vikings should the Cardinals be watching the most? Maybe the ones who struggled a lot last week against the Bengals? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Turn it back over to Mitch here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
This is our poll question based off of Chandler Jones meeting the media today, saying
yes.
That the contract talk, trying not to let it be a distraction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, addressing his contractual situation for the first time all season.
He completely deferred it for the most part.
Pretty much.
So now we're left to predict, and that's what we're asking you guys today. When do you think Chandler Jones will get that next contract? Of the three options, you can choose before the end of this season, you can choose in the offseason upcoming, or it'll be that he gets the franchise tag.
When's that bye week?
Not until like week 12.
Okay, so it's before that.
Yeah,
I'll go before that.
I'm betting on my guy over here, John Gambadoro.
I think it'll get done.
He answered this confidently when we rolled out the question at 2:30 today. Confidently.
Uber
it
confident.
Was uber confident. I believe that was actually the phrase he used when describing his own confidence, was uber confident. So I'm betting on my guy Gambo. I think it'll get done before the end of the season.
I feel pretty, yeah. I think before the end of the season.
All right.
And the audience thinks it's a safe bet, too. 51.4% say before the end of the season. But a change in second place. He'll get the franchise tag is now at 26.7%, offseason at 21.9%.
It's an option. You don't really want to use that. I know the Cardinals can, but you don't want the Cardinals to do that. They shouldn't. It would hamstring them financially.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You keep the guy. You don't lose him, but he's pissed off. And, you know, you probably lose out on spending some free agent money on somebody else because now you've got 20-something million dollars tied into 1 year instead of like doing a 3-year deal where it's a lot less money.
No doubt about it. Hopefully they can avoid that. You can vote on our poll question. Find it on the Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you find it, at Burns and Gambo on social media. Give us a follow while you're there. It's a great way for you to interact with the show while we're on the air. The Vikings come into town. A lot of attention going to be paid to Patrick Peterson, and rightfully so, his first game back. And we played some comments from him yesterday. That will continue to be a storyline, no doubt, as the week goes on. Something else that will be a storyline was just how bad Minnesota looked in week one against Cincinnati. And in particular, the things that looked bad were things that the Cardinals are in a great position to be able to exploit. Namely, and we talked with Courtney Cronin about this earlier, Vikings beat writer for ESPN, that offensive line for the Vikings was in pure shambles against Cincinnati. And if they gave up that kind of pressure against the Bengals, defensive player of the week, Chandler Jones, got to be licking his chops going up against that Vikings offensive line.
Yeah. No, I got a kick out of reading one of the Vikings stories today, and they're like, well, here's some things that can be positive about with the Vikings. I'm like, okay, like I'd like they played so terrible. They couldn't stop the run. They lost to the freaking Bengals. Their offensive line was no good. Their defense. What was positive? They're like, well, the rest of the division all played poorly. I'm like, you're hanging out on that? Like, okay. What's the second thing? Special teams was good. I'm like, oh, God, seriously? Like, hey, there's a reason to be optimistic in Minnesota. The rest of the division sucks, and our special teams was good. Our kicker was pretty good.
It's not a hook you want to go hanging your hat on.
50 yards per punt.
Yeah, no, those are the kind of things you want to put on a billboard. Come watch Vikings football because our punter is great.
Our kicker made a field goal.
Come watch Vikings football. Our division sucks. Yeah, those are billboards you want to see up around town. That's going to put butts in the seats,
I'm
right?
I'm serious. That's what I was looking at today with like, hey, here's the positives for Vikings. Not all is, what did it say? I'm just looking at it right now. You know, reasons to be positive about the Vikings after week one, and that's what they started with. The division sucks, and their kicker and punter were pretty good.
Yeah, no, those are not things you want to sell the fan base on. It was bad, and listening to Courtney earlier in the show talk about how bad it was, it did really start with that offensive line. The penalties made it difficult for them to get in any kind of flow. Cincinnati was really able to harass and pressure Kirk Cousins. That offensive line is a real work in progress.
The left side.
The interior. Too, their center didn't hold up very well.
Nope, Bradbury.
Garrett Bradbury. And it was and so here comes Chandler Jones, and that is problem numero uno for the Vikings to fix going into this game this weekend.
Yeah, listen, whatever it is, man, he's motivated to put up some unbelievable numbers. I mean, you start off with 5 sacks, and in a 17-game, he's got 16 games left, and he's already got 5 sacks. So he has a chance to have a monster season. But Rashad Hill, he's their left tackle, and he was really bad. I mean, he was terrible in that game. Major liability, pass protection, struggled to move bodies, got called for a bunch of penalties, holding penalties, false start penalties. He just wasn't good. The Bengals' pass rush was he couldn't match up against the Bengals' pass rush. Then you look at their left guard, and that's Ezra Cleveland. And this is a guy that they drafted him to be a left tackle, then they moved him over to the right side. Now he's back on the left side, and he's kind of been moved all over the place, and he wasn't very good as well. So that left side of that line, the left guard, the tackle, and even Bradbury, the center, I mean, it was a major problem for the Vikings. And you know, that stuff usually doesn't get fixed right away. You know, that stuff doesn't, you know, sometimes, you know, it takes other players. So those guys all struggled.
Yeah, plus their top draft pick, Christian Darrisaw, the left tackle, he's been out with a groin injury so that they haven't been able to have their line the way they want it to be. Even Zimmer, you mentioned Garrett Bradbury, speaking very frankly about him in his press conference, talking about how Bradbury can get overpowered by bigger guys. He needs help from the guards. And again, you saw the Cincinnati Bengals just exploit this again and again and again. And that's not even getting into their secondary. And that was something else we talked with Courtney a lot about. We saw the bad numbers on Bashaud Breeland. He got torched by Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals offense. Patrick Peterson, they didn't really test him a whole lot, but in the three targets they had against him, he gave up two catches for like 75 yards. She's still convinced that, not convinced, convinced is strong. She still believes that when it's all said and done, the scheme for Minnesota will have Patrick Peterson on one side of the field and Breeland on the other, and they won't shadow Patrick Peterson on DeAndre Hopkins because that's what they do in Minnesota.
Listen, if I'm Patrick Peterson and I'm watching film of the Arizona Cardinals, I'm going up to my coach and saying, I got him. I got him. You're paying me $8 million? I got him. I want him. I don't want to be moved. I want DeAndre Hopkins. I want... You're not waiting to see what the coach tells you. You're going up to him. I know him. I practice against him. I'm your best option. I want him all game long.
Yeah, but if you're his coach and you know how Patrick Peterson's skills have declined in the last few years, you can't just, okay, Patrick Peterson says he's got DeAndre Hopkins. That's it. Conversation's over. We're going to let you do it. Patrick Peterson hasn't been that good the last couple of years. He might have lost the right to be able to go to the coaches and say, I'm Patrick Peterson.
Here in Arizona?
I got him one-on-one.
Not in Minnesota, but in Arizona he did.
He hasn't been that guy the last couple of years. He hasn't been good enough to be that guy.
You want to see that guy. You're paying him $8 million because you believe in him.
But you don't necessarily trust him to give it to him.
But what are you going to do? Give it to Breeland? Breeland got torched last week.
You go with your scheme because you trust your scheme. I don't think you're giving Patrick Peterson an awful lot of credit for him to be able to hold up.
I'm saying if Pat Pete still believes that he's the man,
yeah,
you go to your coach and you say, I want him.
And I'm saying,
I want him.
And I'm saying, if I'm Mike Zimmer and I know how Patrick Peterson's skills have declined, I'm not necessarily giving him that blank check just because he's asking for it. Just because Patrick Peterson says he wants it doesn't mean I'm going
to
give it to him.
I give it to him.
I watch the tape.
I give it to him, but if he can't handle it, I take it away from him.
Yeah.
But I want a guy coming up to me saying, I got him. I got him. I got him. I can take him.
I don't think Patrick Peterson is not that player anymore.
Well, I don't think so either. I'm just saying.
Well, then you can't do it. You can't do it if you're the Vikings. Just because he says he's up for the challenge doesn't mean, oh, okay, hey, we just give it to him.
Somebody's going to line up opposite of DeAndre Hopkins in this game. They're not going to leave him wide open. If I'm Patrick Peterson, I got to demand that I'm that guy. I want to get paid next year, too. I'm on a one-year deal. Mm. Let me shut down DeAndre Hopkins. Now listen, I always say this about older players too. You know, this I always say about this older players. They may not be able to do it consistently, but they could always do it once in a while. Maybe Patrick Peterson can go out there and in one game, as motivated, playing in his old building in front of the old fans against his old team. Maybe it maybe some juices rise to the. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. I don't know. I'm trying to get something rises to the, like, so I don't know.
Juices and things are boiling to the top, and there's stuff there at the top of this thing
all
here.
All of that and stuff, and maybe you just get the most out of them.
There's fluid there that we got to clean up with a towel, because everything's...
Like he's describing his mama's pasta sauce again.
I'm drooling.
Text the word Red Sea right now to 62620. Listen for your name tomorrow. 7:35 a.m., 1:35 p.m., 3:35 p.m. You could win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener on Sunday. That's this Sunday. Plus, one grand prize winner is going to get the autographed Kyler Murray jersey. Again, text the word Red Sea to 62620. When we come back, ASU, it's their biggest test of the season. Just how much are we going to learn about Herm Edwards' Sun Devils on Saturday night? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. ASU-BYU, I think there's only three games this weekend that feature ranked versus ranked. It's Auburn, Penn State, Alabama, and whoever it is that they're playing, and ASU-BYU. So it's a big game just in that context alone, right? That there's because there's not that many ranked versus ranked matchups. Our buddy John Wilner, who covers the Pac-12, writes about the Pac-12 better than anybody else, and it's not even close, wrote quite a bit about ASU this morning and said, look, man, this is the game. We finally get to find out what we have in ASU. I picked them to win the Pac-12 South. He wrote, I think they've got a good football team, but when they've only played Southern Utah and UNLV, it's impossible to know. Totally. Nobody knows what you've got.
No.
This week we find out against BYU.
Yeah, BYU's legitimate. And now they're pumped and they're sky high. And they just broke snapped a 9-game losing streak to the Utes. And they won in Provo. And they're going to the Big 12. And, you know, they're sky high. Now, ASU, you know, you figure they should win this game. They've got they'll have a more talented roster. They'll have more speed. BYU has played well. They're 2-0 against the Pac-12. They want to get to 3-0. You know, and they, listen, they get to take their frustrations out. The Pac-12 has never wanted them, and the Big 12 did. So now they're kind of taking their frustrations out on the Pac-12. They beat Arizona. It didn't look great beating Arizona, but they looked really good beating Utah. So now they get a chance to go 3-0 against the Pac-12.
Alabama's taking on Florida, by the way. That's the other ranked matchup this week. Yeah, and
it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Yes, it is.
Except this week.
Yes, it is. Not this week against Alabama. No. They'll probably be up 40 halfway through the second quarter in that game. For ASU, you can take everything they've done well this season and put a question mark next to it. Yeah, they've done it well so far, but they haven't played anybody of any significance. They've ran the ball very well. They've defended pretty well. But it became against very inferior competition. BYU's competition has been better. You mentioned nothing but Pac-12 teams they've beaten so far. So far, BYU has done very well when it comes to scoring in the red zone, very well when it comes to their defense, very well running the ball against Utah. Perhaps most importantly than anything else, and that's why this is a big weekend for ASU, they're a road team going up against a loud, engaged crowd for the first time in nearly 2 years. And a lot of teams are going through that.
Sure.
But so it's not unique to ASU, but because it's their first time, we really don't know how they'll react to that. When all last year, well, I mean, hell, they only played four games, but it was in front of empty stadiums.
So this is the first time since 2009. That BYU is ranked and they're playing a ranked opponent at home. Hasn't happened since 2009. BYU's ranked, their opponent's ranked, they're at home.
Because they were unranked last week when they played and beat Utah. Yeah. So that's why it didn't.
So this is the first time
then.
In this first time in 12 years has happened.
So you know that crowd's going to be,
of course,
fired up about this.
Uh-huh.
Saturday night, national TV, I believe it's on ESPN. It's going to be a big deal game. Now, if ASU wins this game, suddenly it starts to validate everything we think that ASU might be capable of this year. There was a USA Today writer earlier in the week who projected Oregon, after their big win against Ohio State, going undefeated and going to the College Football Final Four.
Rose Bowl.
And ASU going to the Rose Bowl.
I'll take it.
Now, this Saturday's game doesn't necessarily impact that for ASU. They can lose and still go to the Rose Bowl. They can lose and still win the Pac-12. But in order to back up this belief that this could be a special season for ASU, you kind of have to beat BYU, don't you?
But would anybody believe that they could go to the Rose Bowl if they lose to BYU? I mean, would we come in here on Monday, yeah, they lost, but hey, their chances of going to the Rose Bowl are still alive. We'd probably look at it like they're not that good.
Did they lose on a last-second field goal on Saturday night?
They lost.
If they lost
to a BYU team that barely beat Arizona.
Yeah, but their hopes of going to the Rose Bowl
are they not? I understand what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm not saying like mathematically everything is still in play.
We're talking about the difference between perception and reality here. Perceptually, would we think it's a Rose Bowl team if they lose?
No.
Reality?
It can.
Yeah, of course.
Be.
Yeah. And so you're looking at it perceptually, I'm looking at it reality. And if they go out and just get their teeth kicked in by BYU, then definitely no. I think how you lose matters a little bit with that question that you just asked a second ago.
Yeah, but how they win, I don't care, right? They could win by 3 or they could win by 20, I don't care. Just win. Win that game.
Not at all.
Win that game, get to 3-0 and be like, okay, your little patsy non-conference schedule's over now. And now let's see how you do against the Pac-12.
I really do hate that it's week 3 of the college football season and ASU hasn't played anybody that has allowed us to learn anything about ASU. That drives me crazy.
They're not the only ones like that.
I know.
There's a lot of schools that are like that.
But that's part of what drives me nuts about college football.
At least they haven't At least they haven't lost to one of those schools like other Pac-12 schools have.
In a perfect world, you open the season against one of those weak, inferior opponents.
Yeah.
And then you play somebody kind of worth a darn in week two, so you can get a feel for what you've got. You don't want to play two of those back-to-back to open the season. At least I don't, because I don't feel like you've learned anything
about your
football team.
Well, that's
why
they feel like if ASU did win the Pac-12 as a one-loss team, that they may not get in the playoffs.
That non-conference schedule is not that.
They don't have a good non-conference schedule.
Unless BYU ends up being all that in a side of slaw, which if they lose to ASU, maybe they won't. I don't know. I don't even know what the rest of BYU's schedule looks like. But you're right. I mean, those kids.
I don't think there's been a team that's made it to the college football playoffs that did not have a Power 5 non-conference win on their resume.
Well, even if ASU beats BYU, they wouldn't have that. BYU's not a Power 5 team.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that there has been. So ASU not having that, I don't think there's been a team that's been in the college football playoff that doesn't have a win over a Power 5 conference team as a non-conference
game. So if ASU goes undefeated, if they have a zero...
Undefeated is undefeated. You got to put them in. Undefeated is undefeated.
Yeah, if they don't have a non-conference Power 5 win, which they wouldn't.
They'd be undefeated.
If they're undefeated
in
a Power 5 conference, I tend to think that they're probably
in. But a one-loss ASU team with a Southern Utah
with that non-conference
and BYU
schedule?
And UNLV may get beat out by a second team from a different conference.
I agree with that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the discussion of Kyler Murray in year three, we're going to be talking about it all year long. Week one was very much a step in the right direction, and we'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.